Are we on now? Okay. Get the volume adjusted just right. Thank you for being here today. Matt, I hope at the end of the message I don't need your bulletproof vest. Just keep it handy. Okay. Anyway, as you know, Clint's away today, and he asked me if I would bring the message today. And I count it a privilege any time I can serve our living God and serve the Lord, even though sometimes what we're asked to do is kind of nerve-wracking and different things, but you know what? It's through Him that I get my strength anyway, and so I'm just going to depend on Him. And I want us today to take a few minutes. The name of my message today is The God Who Challenges His People. And when we think of the God that we serve, and the God that you serve, I hope, has a purpose for the challenges that He brings into our lives. Now, there's sometimes that we bring challenges upon ourselves, and sometimes we even are challenged by other people. There are many things that cause us to be challenged today in the world that we're in. We see a world that, as we look around, it seems like daily is declining towards chaos. If we just even look in our own communities, we see so many things going on, and it causes us to challenge ourselves as to what we're going to do with our life in the days ahead. Okay, so when I think about the different challenges, just to name a few, you know, we see people today, and we know of people today, and we've heard about it in our prayer time, that are facing physical challenges. Some are challenges from a crippling disease, maybe. Okay, maybe injuries from an accident they've been through. Then we see people that are facing the challenge of mental illness. We've had a young man that worked for us for a while. We believed for sure he was dealing with a lot of mental problems, mental illnesses. All the signs were there. And according to statistics, if you want to believe them, in Canada, 1 in 5 people will experience mental health issues this year. Okay? Another challenge that we hear about and some people are facing. 24% of all deaths in the 15 to 24-year-old this year, 24-year-olds this year, now listen to this, will be a result of suicide. Would you say our world is tending to move towards chaos more all the time? I don't see the world getting better and better and better. No matter how much we educate, no matter how many programs we run, it just seems like we're heading more towards chaos. Then as we move on, we're going to face some economic challenges, and I suspect many of you here already are. And a lot of people are facing economic challenges today. One of the things that I hear people talking about is, what are we going to do if we lose our job? What a challenge that will be. And I fully understand how important it is. But the thought of losing your job, the prices for the goods we pay are skyrocketing. Debt overload, I hear of it daily almost. Unable to work for any reason or some reason or another. You're just not able to work and provide income. Another challenge for us is relational challenges. I hear it in this church. I'm being honest with you here. Keep that vest handy, Matt. I hear it in this church, people having challenges even getting along with each other. But I've heard it less lately, praise God. Okay? It's a work, okay? We have to work at getting along. We're God's people. This is the body that we belong to. We need to get along. But there's relational challenges. Someone being criticized by someone else. Someone being slandered. Have you ever been slandered? I have been. I've been at the very forefront of being slandered. okay? I want you to know these are all challenges that we face. Have you ever been falsely accused? Has anyone here, raise your hand if you've ever been falsely accused? Okay? Not a good feeling, is it? Okay? Remember, they accused Jesus falsely. You're not alone. Okay? And so on, and the list goes on and on and on. Those are some of the challenges that we face. So, is there a purpose and a reason for us being challenged? Absolutely there is. Whether we challenge ourselves, sometimes I challenge myself to be better at something. And I'm sure you do too. And there's always a good reason to challenge yourself, to make you become a better person or to be able to achieve some things that maybe you weren't able to before. I heard a man say, I was challenged one time by another man to a fight. I've been there. And he said, I took up the challenge, and in one punch, he knocked me flat out, and when I woke up, my negotiating skills got a lot better. Okay? So there's a reason for things in the world of challenge. So the question is, will life always be a challenge? What do you think? I see somebody doing this, and you're right. Life will always be a challenge. So what are we to do with this? Here's the good news. Some days will be better than others. Some days you'll have easier challenges, but there will always be challenges, okay? So there's another aspect of challenge, and I'm just going to show you a short video clip in just a moment. Josh, if you want to get that, there it is. Sometimes when we are facing challenges, I have found that it really helps in the low moments of the challenge. If I can find someone or know someone or see someone that I know has had a bigger challenge than me and maybe than I ever will face. Okay? Why? Because I believe it can inspire us to face that challenge a lot easier. Okay? Now, I'm going to show you a man in just a minute. His name is Andy Detwiller. He's a farmer in Ohio. He goes about farming like some of us here may, regardless of what the mayor of New York says, Mr. Bloomberg, who's wanting to run for president, has said that a farmer, it's easy to learn to be a farmer. Just throw it, dig a hole, put seed in, cover it up, put water on it, and the corn comes up. Okay, that sounds pretty simple to me, but I realize he's never farmed, okay? But here's a farmer in Ohio that goes about his daily work, just like a normal farmer in a sense, but I want you to notice something about him. I'm going to play you a short clip, and when you think of challenges, I want you to take note of the challenge that he faces, but how he deals with it. And then I'll ask Josh to stop when I'm ready. Okay, Josh. This isn't mine.
balancing act. Alright, you guys saw me hook up the power shaft on the auger. This one's about three times as heavy, maybe more than that. And it goes in here on this big shaft right here. So we gotta get it over here on my side. And it's heavy. Hopefully I don't knock the camera over trying to get it. Set it up there like that. Got sweat in my eyes.
I'll let you see him put this on and then we'll stop. Okay, thank you, Josh. You think that's a challenge? Try it sometime. I have a hard time doing it with all everything, okay? All right. But I just wanted to show you that because I think it helps us sometimes, like I say, when we are facing some huge challenges, and many of us are, and many of us will, okay? But we can be an inspiration to others in the way that we face the challenges that we have. Okay? This man's name is Andy DeWitter, if you want to watch him at home sometime. He's called the Harmless Farmer. It is an inspiration. You will find out his story, how he lost both of his arms and a grain auger when he was, I think, 2.5 or 3. But he never stopped, and he never quit. It's an amazing story. Okay? So, challenges. So we know and we have established that we are going to be facing challenges daily. Okay? We know that some are really facing some big challenges in this church today. So I want us to look at a few things that I hope will help us as a body of Christ to try and understand that challenges aren't going away, but we have someone who knows every challenge we face. And he's going to be there with us, regardless. So challenges are a fact of life. But we always need to remember God can use the challenges we face to encourage and inspire others along the way. So today for our scripture, Josh, if you can bring it up, I want to go to Isaiah chapter 41. You have it already? Verse 21, but I want to go through 21 to 24 if we could, Josh. So whatever time you have, okay? But God will challenge us in the days ahead on some things that I want to talk about a little today. And I believe with all my heart, one of the biggest things that we're going to face in the days ahead, one of the biggest challenges that you and I are going to face as a church and as individuals is to stay faithful and true to God. There's many, many people today who are falling away from the faith, and that's a tragedy. But I want you to know that it will not be the first time that God's people began to drift away from the one true living God. We're going to look at an example of that in a minute. But I want you to know that God will sometimes challenge his people to get back on track. Okay? And sometimes we will be challenged to do certain things like that, and we need to challenge other people. Okay? In a sense that we're doing it out of love and compassion and concern for their life. Okay? As we look here, God's people had began to drift and do something that he was not happy about. Okay? So he challenged his people, and he began to challenge them as to the gods that they were serving. You and I can get focusing on the wrong things and following the wrong things, and to the point where it almost becomes like something we worship. It might be your job, it might not be. It might be your vehicle, it might not be. It might be your money, I hope not. There's many things that Satan will use to pull us away, and God will begin to challenge us as to what we're doing. Okay, if you have it there, Josh, verse 21. You can just think of this almost like a court case where God is coming and he's saying, look, we have two things happening. You say that you are the God, you worship the true gods, or that these gods can do things, and I say that they can't, and I want you to consider who is the one true God. That's what I want you to do. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to present the evidence. We're going to let each side present its evidence like we're in a court of law, and at the end of the day, let's see what happens, okay? So here it is. So do you have the other verses too, Josh, or not? Pardon? Okay, one at a time? Okay. So he says here he is talking. Present your case, says the Lord. Set forth your arguments, says Jacob's king. So he's saying here, get ready, present your arguments, like we're in a court of law with two lawyers, okay? Present your arguments and your evidence. So we'll go on, and it says, tell us. You idols, so now he's saying you idols, he's directing it to the idols themselves. What is going to happen? In other words, I'm going to challenge you to do what I've done, and I'm going to tell you I want you to tell me what's going to happen in the future. We've just began a God Wants You to Know the Future in a class downstairs on Sunday mornings. You want to be a part of that, you're welcome. But he's saying, I'm going to start asking you to present your evidence. So, tell us what will happen, in other words, in the future, or even in the present, what's going to happen in the next little while. And then I want you to tell us what the former things were, what happened before, okay, so that we may consider them and know their final outcome, okay, or declare to us the things to come. Just hold it there for a minute, Josh, okay. So he's presenting the challenge. He wants his people to quit worshiping these idols, but he wants to present his case to them. Okay, it says God will challenge these other gods to prove that they exist. Okay, so number one, if you really can do something as a god, and he's talking even about idols made with human hands, to me it's not even sensible, right? For you and I to make something out of wood or stone or gold or silver, I don't care, and actually believe that it's going to do something for us. I know there's a lot of interviews with people that have come from Hindu background or Buddhist background, and you'll ask them, what does your God do for you? And they'll say, well, nothing. Then I really have to shake my head, Okay? But that's what he's saying. Tell us what the future holds. Can your God do that? Or can you gods do that? Our God can. And he has. And some of it has already came to pass, and some of it's coming to pass in the very near future, I believe. If you want to know what's ahead, challenge yourself to read God's word and get ready. Be ready for some of the events that are going to come. But see, these gods couldn't do that, so he's challenging them. So tell us what's going to happen in the future so that we, excuse me, so that we may know that you are gods, number one. If you can't even do that, you're not even a god. Okay? Do something whether good or bad. In other words, do something so bad that it just scares the daylights out of us. You're just so powerful. You know, create an earthquake or something. Or do something so good that we're just, oh, wow, what a God you are. Okay? So that we will be dismayed and filled with fear. Have you ever seen any of the little idols that I went into stores where people, you can actually go and buy an idol. Okay? I would never buy an idol of any kind to begin with, but if I did, I would never believe that it could do any of this. It would be more just for decoration. But be careful. You don't want to even bring these kind of things into your home because it also brings in a spirit with it. Okay? So be careful. But that's what he's saying. So we'll go on the next verse. But you are less than nothing. Now, I thought nothing was nothing. Didn't you? When I went to school, zero was zero. Okay? But he says here, but you are less than nothing, and your works are utterly worthless. Whoever chooses you is detestable. That's pretty strong, isn't it? You know what? I'd rather have someone give me a strong word that will save me from something than someone that will be real nice and easy and not upset me. I'm just being honest. Okay? But he's saying here, if you can't even do that, you are less than nothing as a god and your works are utterly worthless. You want to go follow those gods? You go ahead, I guess. It's your choice. But guess what? They're worthless to you. Whoever chooses you is detestable. In another version, it says you are a fool. Okay? So that's what he's saying. Okay, next, Josh. Now, in 14, it says, Joshua 24:14, it says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors. Okay. So, God will challenge the other gods that people get following, okay? They can't predict the future. They can't create anything. They can't give you direction. They cannot give you good guidance of any kind, okay? But it says, he will challenge their past predictions as to whether they actually come true or not. There is a very good test. You know, I've read certain historians and some people that claim that they can predict the future, you know, the world wars that's happened and all these things. Okay? But I want you to know something. There are two spirits in the world. There's God's spirit, the Holy Spirit, that leads people. And I want you to know there's another spirit, and it's the evil spirit of Satan himself, that also gives people certain gifts that they can use. But I want you to know that there's something very important about this. You've seen, I've seen crime shows where they'll use fortune tellers and they'll be using people that can, you know, lead them to these places where these people are missing. And I want you to know these people can actually do some of this stuff. It's not just a fairy tale. But it's not the Spirit of God that's doing it. And I want you to know, some of these things that they perform begins to lead people into following those kinds of things and those kinds of gods. It never directs them towards the one true God. Okay? So he's challenging them. Okay? And it says God challenges them to do something, something to make us fear or something great or good, but they can't do it. So then he concludes in the passage that from the evidence that they have seen where these gods really are non-existent, and if we worship any other than God, we are fools, and God does this. He rests his case. So when God's given us every opportunity, in the challenge as to what we're doing with our lives on a daily basis, what we plan on doing with our lives in the future, it's something for us to really consider who we are going to follow and who we are going to believe. God brought his evidence and he rests his case. And now he says, it's up to you to decide. Many today, irregardless of all of the evidence that God has given them, will not accept it. The Bible says they're not only ignorant in many cases, but when they may be ignorant to start with, but when they hear all the evidence and all the truth, they become willingly ignorant. They're no longer just ignorant in the fact they didn't know. Now they know. But they don't want to accept it, and they become willingly ignorant, okay? But God will lay out his case and challenge you, and he will challenge us individually. He will challenge us as a church. He will challenge us as a country. Righteousness, what? Exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Okay? God wants us to make the right choices. Then in Isaiah 46, if you have that, that'll be our last. We're going a little over, sorry about that. Isaiah, do you have that one, Josh? Pardon? Okay, I'll just read it for you. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. That's where we're going to close out. He says here, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and then from ancient times the things that are not yet done. In other words, he's already told us some of the things that are going to happen in the future that haven't happened yet. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, regardless of whether we believe in the one true God or not. His plan is going to be carried out, as it always has been. You see, he's not dependent on you and I all the time to carry out his plan. If we want to be a part of it, that's great. He wants us to be. He wants you to be involved. But his plan will be carried out irregardless. What a blessing it is to be a part of his plan. Okay? I want you to know something. I just want to challenge you today in a way that you do not feel offended. But I want to challenge you as you face the days ahead and all the challenges that come with it, to just put your faith and your trust in him. You know, as we walk through our lives on a daily basis and we face some huge challenges, we know that God hasn't told us every little thing and every little event that's going to happen in our lives every minute. Right? Why is that? Well, I'll tell you why. If he did, faith wouldn't even be necessary. You know that? And if it were necessary, it'd be very little. I'll explain. We live by faith, right? Do we? I hope so. Okay. Why do we live by faith? Because we believe that God is going to do something that hasn't happened yet. Someday, He's going to take us home. Don't know when that is, and if He doesn't, He's going to return while we're still alive. One of those, that's our two options. Okay? But when we believe that He is coming back for us, do we not? Everybody here, I hope you do, believe that He's coming back. Okay? I have faith that He is. But I want you to know something. The minute He arrives to take us out of this world, it's no longer faith. You understand what I'm saying? It's no longer faith. It's happened. I don't have to just believe it by faith. I don't believe it's just going to happen in the future. It's happened. I don't have to do that anymore, you see. So, I'll give you one more example. I have had, as a farmer, people say that if God were to send the rain exactly when we need it, the sunshine exactly when we need it as a farmer, I want you to know something. There would be a lot of farmers convert to Christianity. You understand what I'm saying? But here's the thing. Very important point I want to make. He wants us to serve Him and believe Him in Him regardless of what happens. Regardless of the challenges that we face in whatever we're doing, He says, continue to serve Me, the one true God, and let Me take care of the rest of it. And I'm saying that's good enough for me. There have been two times in my life that I know without a shadow of a doubt, now I'm turning it into a testimony, but without a shadow of a doubt, I should have been dead. There's no question. I'm not going to sensationalize this. I'm just going to tell you a fact of life that I know. For an absolute fact, under any normal circumstances, I wouldn't have survived. One, I was flying a plane crash. I don't remember, or flying one, I had one. I was flying a spray plane, and I hit a power line, and my kids can tell you about it. And I really shouldn't have survived. I really shouldn't have. But God spared me. Okay, He spared me. Another time that I know for a fact, it wasn't many years ago, I was running a large excavator on one of our farm properties, and it was in the spring, and there was lots of water there, and I was trying to drain some water away out of this huge puddle, and I was walking back to where I wanted to park the machine, and I was swinging, and just as I was swinging and walking the machine with the big boom, it was an excavator, I seen a spark. I thought, oh my. And I swung away and it was too late. But I want you to know something. I have thought about that many times since. I should have been a dead man right then and there. Because the boom of that machine touched the hot wire on that power line. And I got thinking, why did I not feel anything? I'll tell you exactly why. There's also a ground wire that runs into your yard along with the hot wire, and that boom touched both wires at exactly the same time. What happened? There were some carpenters working there, and I thought, well, that's interesting. They're still working. Power must still be on. But a few minutes later, they come over and said, hey, something happened to our power. I said, oh, did it? ATCO showed up, fixed the line, it blew a bunch of breakers, and blah, 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 blah. Long story short, why am I telling you this? If you will get involved with God's plan for your life, He will sustain you as long as you need to be sustained. Okay? He'll take care of you. I'm convinced of that. So, I just want to close with Hebrews. Do you have that one, Josh? No? Hebrews 13, 5? If not, I'll find it. That's what I want to close with. He's got it? Okay. So keep your lives free from the love of money or any other thing as far as material things, and be content with what you have. Okay? Because God has said, never, ever will I leave you, never will I forsake you. No matter what goes on, keep having faith in me. Keep doing what I ask you to do. You will never be alone. I have been in places where I just felt so alone. I remember calling home one time, I talked to my dad, and I needed some help really bad. And it wasn't his fault, he just couldn't help me. My friends couldn't help me. No one could help me except I was reminded, Kurt, now I've kind of got you where I've wanted you for a long time. I've got you to the place where you're going to realize none of your friends can help you in this mess. Your parents can't help you. Your wife can't help you, but I can. And he did. And I've never forgot it. And from that day forward, I've said, you know what? I'm very aware of the fact that I'm going to face some challenges that I know on my own there's nothing I can do. So I'm just going to trust you. If you're here today and you have not got to that place, I want to pray that God will get you there. And if you are there, I want to encourage you to just trust in what he's doing, even though you may think he's doing nothing. You may have prayed about things, and God, it just seems like you're not answering my prayers. Maybe you want to ask yourself why. It could be that, or it could be that he's saying, what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you to wait on me. That was a lesson I had to learn. Okay? So I just want to encourage you in that today. As you face the days ahead, I want to challenge you to think about who you're going to serve and what you want to get involved in. And I'll just pray that through all of that, God will give you an understanding like you've never had before of who he is and the God that he is and what he can do that no other God can do. Thank you. I'll ask the music team to come up. While they're doing that, I'm just going to close in a word of prayer, and then we'll get on with that. Dear Lord, we thank you today that a book that was written many years ago contains all the secrets that you want us to know, and though we know that you have kept some for yourself that will be revealed to us later. But God, we know that the challenges we face, you already know about them. Help us to just live a faithful life that we know that everything works together for the good for those that love you. It will be in your timing, not ours. But we can be comforted in the fact that we know, you already know what we're facing. We thank you for that. If there's one here today that hasn't put his trust or her trust and faith in you, we pray that they will recognize the need to do that today. For we have no promise of tomorrow. So we ask you to just lead us as we leave this place to be the examples we need to be to others. Hopefully to inspire them in spite of the challenges that each one here may face in the days ahead. We ask this all in your precious name. Amen.